Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. How you all doing tonight? It is February 16th, 2022. We are back. It is Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite. I am Don Tony, and we have a few things to get into tonight. Obviously, the big news, massive news, sending shockwaves throughout the AEW extended family. Cody Rhodes, Brandi Rhodes, no longer part of AEW, and WWE bound as well. In a few moments, we will get into what we know so far. Some of it is obviously common sense. Some of it is pretty interesting. And we'll also, in the process, dispel a little bit of bullshit, because that fringe left, the radical AEW supporters. And I'm not talking about regular fans. I'm talking about news sites, podcasts, journalists. Oh, man, they're forced to take those rose-colored sunglasses off for a little while. And, we will get into that. We'll also discuss a little bit about Dynamite tonight. A lot of progress into the AEW Revolution pay-per-view. A couple of storylines advancing. And we'll talk a little bit about NXT Vengeance Day. I think it'll be a nice, fun show today. And, let's get into it. First off, I think it was January 19th. It was right around the middle of January. I think a lot of you will remember this thumbnail that I put not only on YouTube, but on social media as well. You remember this? You remember that episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite? We were going to talk in detail about Cody Rhodes, his contract expiring in December. Could he leave AEW for WWE? Would he leave AEW for WWE? And I remember when we posted that and a few other sites and a few other shows talking about the possibilities, you had those huge names in the news and podcasting world shooting that down, calling a lot of us out there shit stirrers. The nerve of them calling all of us clickbaiters. So, you know, hey, you got these connections within AEW. They're shooting it down. No, it's just semantics. COVID just delayed the negotiations. This person was in Jersey and this person was in here. Yeah, okay. All right. So now what transpires? Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes gone from AEW. Now, the thing I got so fascinated with, especially when you realize how close some people claim they are with AEW, that if this was something that was being prepared to announce to the net, because look, all sides agreed to be very professional about this. No Tony Khan, Big Swall type tweets. Do not expect sarcasm from him. But interesting that nobody on that radical side had any advance knowledge that, you know, negotiations fell apart. Yet these are the same people that want you to believe that they have contacts within WWE that are so close to Vince McMahon that Vince McMahon tells said people, oh, everything's fine in WWE, no problems at all. Anyone out there think in their right mind that some of these wackos in the wrestling news world know someone that close that Vince McMahon would talk like that? He doesn't even talk like that to investors. So what do we know so far? Well, for those that have not seen them yet, let's briefly run down the three releases, press releases that were put out. First, let's look at Cody. Not going to read every single word from it. Cody says, and I quote, "I have loved my time at AEW, amazing locker room, amazing fans, amazing people. The Revolution was indeed televised, and I've been incredibly lucky to be a part of that. First, I want to thank Tony Khan. He's taken the baton and run with it, and it was an honor to work for him and to know him on a personal level. He's a beautiful soul. Obviously, need to thank my incredible wife and the mother of my baby girl, Brandy, for all the love and support throughout this journey." And he goes on and on. Thanks a lot of wrestlers in the locker room, from Kenny Omega to Chris Jericho, QT Marshall, MJF, Jay Cargill, Sammy Guevara, Darby Allin. The list goes on and on. Through sweat, blood, tears, literal fire and all that, I left it all on the mat. Had to disable something for a second. It would have infiltrated the press release and I wouldn't have been able to read it. So, Muhammad, shout out to you, my friend. I will answer yours in a moment. Through blood, sweat, tears, literal fire, and all of that, I left it all on the mat. Memories of this renaissance through blood, sweat, tears. Everything pales in comparison to the final contribution I was empowered to lead at the company, the community outreach team, in most inward moments. Your outward behavior and your ability to take the fame and influence and do something of value for the communities you visit. This is the longest sentence in the history of wrestling, everybody. I am confident Amanda Huber will lead the department with style. I am proud of my creations and contributions, and let's live forever. With the Nightmare logo, like a business letterhead, not even a name Cody, but that's all right. That's all right. You know, he thinks he's Prince now with the logo. So now we go to Brandy. Brandy's comment. She says, and I quote, "A heartfelt thank you to every fan who has supported me in AEW. It was an honor to be the company's first chief brand officer." She thanks Culture City, Special Olympics Illinois, and the American Heart Association. "Thank you to every AEW heel that has helped me build the dream community for female friends, fans. Thank you to every AEW wrestler and talent that worked hard to create a great locker room environment. Thank you to production team, makeup team, and seamstresses. Thank you, Dustin, QT, Jerry Lynn, Leva Bates." She thanks her husband. And at the very end, "Oh, thank you to Tony Khan for giving me this opportunity and platform. I move forward with my daughter and this quote in mind. We must take time to define our own path. Too quickly, we could find the world defining it for us." That is Brandy's statement. Tony Khan, little abbreviated, but to the point. "Cody and Brandy Rhodes were an integral to the launch of All Elite Wrestling. Cody's ability, combined with his boldness and his passion for our industry and his love for community outreach, helped deliver AEW on our mission to give fans what they needed far too long, something new, innovative, and lasting. Brandy helped us shape the AEW story, and I appreciate how hard she fought for us both in the ring and out of the ring, competing in the women's division while advancing our efforts at inclusion and civic causes, including great partnerships with Culture City and the American Heart Association. I have immense respect and appreciation for Cody and Brandy, and I wish them both the best as they move on from AEW. Thank you, Cody and Brandy. Sincerely, Cody Khan." Very professional. That's the right way you do business. Now, obviously, those that are very radical, very biased towards AEW, are going to push the life goes on. You know, they're replaceable. Anybody's replaceable. This and that. Now, am I saying that this is the demise of AEW? No. Not even going to hint that AEW will be fine. Let's be a little bit realistic for a moment. Imagine you could use any type of business you want. Restaurant. Want to use the restaurant analogy we've always used? Imagine you have the biggest restaurant in your state. Just huge, record numbers, incredible business. Somebody opens up a smaller restaurant, you know, and doing decent business, nowhere near yours, but on great momentum. They're the talk of the town. And they have some very, very young, innovative, you know, you don't think that the giant conglomerate that doesn't want to have that smaller business even get the opportunity for momentum. Look, common sense will tell you, every wrestler in an interview is going to say to you, oh, competition is great. We love competition because it makes everybody step up. It makes wrestling better. It helps the wrestlers. It helps the fans. Everybody wins in competition. And look, I'm not talking from a sheet of talking points. I'm talking from here and here. And when wrestlers say that, they are absolutely correct. But if you're Vince McMahon, if you're WWE, if you're investors, if you're corporate, you do not want to take the chance of someone coming along and coming up with some new blockbuster products that hurts your bottom line and maybe one day equals it takes it over. You do not give anybody an opportunity. I know that sounds terrible, but a lot of fans right now, a lot of fans that have looked at AEW as cake and ice cream. Remember my Max Caster raps that I did, the spoof raps? Do you remember what the whole overall synopsis was for one of them? Soon, you're going to learn the truth about AEW. And the truth about AEW is that they are a wrestling company like everybody else. You don't have this world of altar boys and altar girls and saints in the back. Wrestling is snake oil. Tony Khan is a salesman. Tony Khan isn't innocent. Obviously, he does business a little bit different than others, and that etiquette is beautiful. But at the end of the day, every single person in that company is out for themselves. And to think like Dixie Carter used to think, that, oh, it's a family, I'm Aunt Dixie, that the wrestlers know it's more than just working, it's about a cause, it's about this, it's about that. And then she realizes the stark reality that when a contract is up, but, no buts. People just get up and they leave. My contract is up. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. No freebies. You're owed nothing. That's what the world of business is and in the world of pro wrestling. Some wrestlers that know they will never have a shot in WWE. Some wrestlers that know that outside of AEW, their chance of survival outside of indie wrestling is slim to none. Those are the ones that may do a freebie once in a while. But when it comes to Cody, executive vice president, that is not a storyline name. That is a very powerful title, executive vice president. Now think of what I said before. Forget about reality TV series. Forget about WrestleMania for a minute. Forget about, you know, what we're going to talk about in a few moments. Just think about what I said earlier about the restaurant analogy. Now imagine this restaurant comes out of nowhere and in 3 years, you know, is so big that, you know, they're generating revenue like no other than the big, obviously, company. That company does not want to give them the platform, the performers, to possibly one day overtake them. Now imagine that giant company having the opportunity to bring in the executive vice president of their competitor. Cody Rhodes, do you think this is going to be a case like, tell me what makes Tony Khan tick? Tell me how this is done. How this is done. Do you think that in the handshake, boss, I know I'm leaving, but I promise you, my lips are sealed. You know, we think this is Randy Orton with Riddle. You'll swallow in the key and say nothing. Everything that has launched AEW and has brought it the way it is, every aspect on how that business is run, the mindset of Tony Khan, how they operate, what their goals, their intentions are, what makes them tick. That's all going to be given to WWE. And that's not illegal. This is the former executive vice president that is coming from a different company that is going to show WWE, this is what makes this work. This is why this worked. This is what we did here. This is what we did there. That is business. And that is gigantic. That is gigantic. And look, if I was Tony Khan, he's got to remember everything that happened with Dixie Carter. Now, I talked a little bit on Patreon yesterday with Mish, and we were talking about Amanda Huber a little bit, and she's an awesome lady, and she's very, very committed, wants to work hard. You know, the one thing that that I think everybody realizes is that she doesn't have the experience yet. And Cody is an executive vice president. You don't just take someone else who is loyal within AEW and say, do you want to be executive vice president? That is very big shoes to fill. And to just think that, oh, they'll just put somebody in their place and everything will be dandy. No, that's not the way a company of that size works. Tony Khan has got to realize, he's got to think, and look, he obviously thinks this already, but he's got to start swallowing that truth pill, that serum, that hard pill that he doesn't want to swallow, that anybody in that company, from MJF to Guevara to Cody to Jericho to Omega to the Young Buck, anybody, when their contract is up, they could pick up and they can leave. And the thing that is very glaring for me about Cody and Brandy leaving is that not even a small extension was filed. Now, you may remember in the middle of January when we wanted to have this real deep conversation, we talked about the fact that Cody, double paycheck, as an executive and as a performer, that those contracts ran in sync with each other. They were not going to non-renew the executive part, but keep him as an on-air performer. They were not going to let the on-air performer expire and let him be an executive. That's what attracted Cody to this in the first place. And the thing is, I could almost envision, look, do you remember Bischoff in 1999, I think it was, when Eric Bischoff went into the locker room and basically told everybody on the roster, if you want to leave, leave. And some people left. You had the Radicals show up on WWF TV. You know, Jericho obviously end up signing with World Wrestling Federation. But basically, there's the door. If you want to leave, leave. Now, you almost could think now, 23 years later, you could almost envision Tony Khan walking into the room with all the bigwigs and sitting down and saying, any other sports entertainers want to leave? Because Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes are sports entertainers. You remember Kenny Omega and his character change for those 9 months, especially when he started commingling with Impact? Kenny Omega was not having five-star matches frequently or even four-star matches frequently. Kenny Omega, with Gallows and Anderson coming out, and you had Don Callis coming out, and the Young Bucks and Cutler with his goddamn spray. And you go on, Michael Nakazawa, Kenny Omega turned into a sports entertainer. And in the world of sports entertainment, obviously, Cody and Brandy are a lot bigger than what they were 3 years ago. And this is what I was bringing up yesterday. 3 years ago, when AEW was just a vision, of course the Khans had a boatload of money, but it was just a vision. So the amount of money that was negotiated with a lot of the bigger names was probably lower than any of us would think. Now, for medium-sized people, you know, they may have overpaid. I don't want to name any individual wrestlers, but you look at some of the wrestlers that you know their contracts are not being renewed in 2022. You know, there's been reports, and a lot of people have reported it, from Cornette to others, and, you know, some reporters obviously would never admit it, that Tony Khan paid 4, 5, 6 times as much than what some of these wrestlers were getting on the indie circuit on their own. So for the bigger names, because of the bigger cause, they definitely took a little bit less than what an established company would have garnished. But the thing is, 3 years later, Cody's worth in AEW is a lot more than what it was 3 years ago. And you will remember me saying this over and over and over again in 2021 and even part of 2022, that when some of these wrestlers come up for renewal, is Tony Khan going to be able to match anything that WWE offers? Remember, when Cody cut that promo a couple of weeks ago and Cody said, we're not in the business of trademarking names like Gunther McGillibuddy, when he made fun of Walter and he called him Gunther McGillibuddy. You know, AEW is not in the business of, why not? Why not? Why aren't you creating characters that is your intellectual property? So the attraction to get so many people to sign is, hey, you want to Twitch? Go right ahead, make $1 million. You want to go on Cameo? Go ahead, make $1 million. You want to go on YouTube? Go ahead, make all your money. You want to work the indies? Go right ahead. Just make sure it doesn't conflict with our schedule. And for a lot of people, that's like, hey, man, that's freaking awesome. But as AEW grows, some of the bigger names realize, hey, you know, my worth is more than what it was a year, 2 years, 3 years ago. So what happens now with WWE? Remember the whole budget cuts? And I promise I will not pain you all with the whole diatribe again, but let's use the NBA for an example. Now, this, I wrote down some names because I didn't want to forget any names, but let's use the NBA for example. All right, you like the NBA, and let's say you want to trade NBA cards with someone. Now, I ask you, would you rather have in hand an Anthony Davis card, or would you rather have 2021 cards? Would you rather have an Anthony Davis card, or would you rather have Lonzo Ball, Trae Young, Jamal Murray, Tobias Harris, Anthony Edwards, Jimmy Butler, and Mo Williams cards? Would you rather have those 10 cards, or would you rather have the Anthony Davis card? Now, the reason why I said Anthony Davis and not LeBron James or Kevin Durant or anyone else is because, let's be honest, Cody Rhodes is not a LeBron James. He'd like to be a LeBron James one day, but he's not a LeBron James. But the thing is, would you rather have those 10 cards or would you rather have the Anthony Davis card? If you look up the value of a PSA 10 Anthony Davis card, it blows away all those other cards combined. So when you think of WWE the last 2 years, budget cuts, people still, and I realize now, it's not ignorance on people. They just realize that if they write the truth on social media, nobody will pay attention to it. But when you write the passionate, oh, WWE's making record profits, but they're telling wrestlers budget cuts. How fucked up is that? And everybody likes it. Like, yeah, man, that's fucked up. Because they still refuse to accept the fact that budget cuts does not mean money problems. The fact is, WWE used to have, let's say, $150 million that they put aside for wrestlers. Why are we spending $150 million? Let's cut that down to $75 million. And we use that $75 million elsewhere. And if we can get someone from the competitor on the levels of Cody Rhodes, we could offer him twice as much as what AEW is paying him because we have all this record revenue. The investors do not tell WWE, we don't want you to spend $100 million on wrestlers. We want you to spend $200 million. So WWE could turn around, and I brought up yesterday also, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, 1996. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, the story's been told 1,000 times over the years, that when their contracts came up with World Wrestling Federation and WCW, and Eric Bischoff made them an offer. Scott Hall and Kevin Nash told Vince McMahon, just match it and I'll stay. And Vince McMahon couldn't afford to match it. He probably could have afforded to match it, but then he would have sacrificed the opportunity to do a lot of other things. See, if you have $2,000 in a bank or $20,000 in a bank, you don't want to take out all $20,000 or $19,000 of it, because you got to have something so bad. Because then when you run into other issues, you don't have any backup. And WWF forced him to leave. Didn't force them, but said, look, I can't match it. You got to go. So Tony Khan, again, the contracts. That's why I said at least a dozen times in 2021 that 2022 will be the year of the contract. The story of the year for AEW will be the year of the contract, because a lot of people's contracts were coming up for renewal, and a lot of that truth that this wrestling side that is very, very biased towards AEW, they don't want you to know how thin these AEW contracts are. There's no 90-day no-compete. Almost every wrestler there can leave, go to WWE, and use the same names. There's no intellectual property other than the footage that they own, the figures and merchandise and memorabilia that they have come out with. That's what they owe. That is Tony Khan's decision. You want to sell shirts? No problem. Sell them on Pro Wrestling Tees. You know, if you use the AEW, while you're under us, we get a little percentage of it. It's not the opposite. It's not AEW coming out with the shirts and the wrestlers get a little cut of it. It's almost the opposite. The wrestlers come out with their shirts and AEW gets a little cut. Look at Upper Deck with the memorabilia. Upper Deck selling photos between $299 and $499. You know, and these, so the bottom line is Cody Rhodes and Brandy. AEW, what blows me away is Tony Khan couldn't even negotiate a 3-month extension, a 6-month extension. I mean, you think about the amount of money that the Khans are worth, and you mean to tell me your executive vice president, forget the TV character side of Cody for a minute, your executive vice president, that you can't come up with a figure to just keep him for 3 more months while negotiations continue, that negotiations fell apart this quickly with no budge, no room whatsoever. That just gives you an idea, number one, how much Cody feels he is worth and how much WWE likely will give him. I think down the line, I'm not reporting this as news, but I think down the line, we are going to find out that WWE made an offer to Cody and Brandy, and Cody went to Tony Khan and said, look, just match it, just come close to it, and I'll stay. And this is what happens when you are a billion-dollar company. I mean, look, WWE creative on TV, there's a lot to dislike. There's a lot to like as well, but there's a lot on WWE creative to dislike. And the fact is, when you continue to draw in this record amount of money, you can sweep it under the rug. All right, you know, our core storylines suck. We'll cover it up with a little bit of Ronda Rousey. Now the rumors of Steve Austin doing something. Then the rumors of this. Then the rumors of that. That's how you cover it up. You know, you get $50 million payday in Saudi Arabia, and you just have them pleased. Give them what they want. And you get somebody to come out every time and something this, something that, and you realize the amount of money that's involved. You can turn around and overpay for Cody Rhodes and Brandy Rhodes. And that's pretty much the deal. Cody Rhodes and Brandy Rhodes are sports entertainers. And you have sports entertainers in AEW. And the thing is that for everyone out there that thinks that they don't have sports entertainers, when you realize the WWE machine and how much money you could make from that machine. Booker T was talking about it today on his podcast. If you negotiate the right way, the amount of money that Cody Rhodes can make in royalties could come close to what he was making as an on-talent wrestler for AEW, I'm not talking about the executive side, I'm talking about the on-talent side. The amount of money is insane. And as much as you hear that noise online, oh, how could people keep going to WWE? Look at all the people they release. What are you, stupid? How could Roxy even dare sign a contract? She knows that she could get cut. Yeah, this is the world of pro wrestling. This is how wrestling works. This is how the big time works. And Tony Khan may think it's very, very noble. We won't let anybody out of their contracts before they expire. Oh, that feels good. I'm not going to turn into dynamite because Tony is going to let somebody's contract expire, even though they make next to nothing if they're not on TV. But that's the right thing to do. I'm going to watch it because he's such a good guy. Yet, when these wrestlers' contracts come up for expiration, you think anybody out there that could possibly make a boatload more elsewhere, you think you're going to turn around and say, Tony, you were such a good guy. You know, I'll stay, you know, for a couple of months, or I'll do this, I'll do that, do this. No, that's not the way it works. And Tony Khan is going to get a crash course right now. You're going to see things change in AEW. You're going to see a lot of things change because at the end of the day, no matter how good you could come off as Tony Khan is, he's got to negotiate like the world of business operates in wrestling, because all those wrestlers that he thinks are his buddies, his chums and extended family, they're there for the cause. They're there for the betterment of pro wrestling, that you don't think that if the opportunity comes up, their contract's renewed, coming up for renewal, and WWE sends a feeler and say, look, whatever you're making in AEW, I'll double it. You think somebody is going to turn around and just give up millions because Tony just was so nice to me? Does anybody really believe that? So that's why so many people on the opposite side were shocked and dismayed. We've never thought of anybody in AEW. Could you believe Cody left? Of anybody. He was the lifeblood of, yeah, welcome to the world of business. Welcome to the world of sports entertainment. Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes want to be larger than life outside of wrestling as well. Look at the reality TV show. Look at how he's presented. Look at the pomp and circumstance. Look at everything that Cody has done in the last 3 years. He has earned that. Look, as much as we have knocked Cody with his intros and his pyro and that chick from TBS or whatever that, you know, almost got beat up in a ringside. And not only does Cody come out to make the save, he comes out from section 450. So it looks like this gallant, heroic superhero effort. You listen to Cody's promos and what he worked so hard. He earned that position. But there is limitations. Go Big Show. Brandi, you know, was it Roads to the Top? Where does it go from there? When you realize the WWE machine, and where's Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker? Where's their ESPN award? Where's their nomination? Where's all these other wrestlers in the real world? Where's all the acknowledgement? Oh, Cobra Kai! Cobra Kai! He's on Dynamite! Cobra Kai! It's cool. It was nice to see Cobra Kai tonight. Where's the photo? I know I got the photo somewhere. It was nice to see Cobra Kai. But you really think about it. You get little cameos here. I mean, come on. If you looked at Melissa Joan Hart tonight, she had these looks on her face like, yeah, I don't know who I know Daniel Bryan, but I don't know who these people are. And yeah, but I'm having a good time. You know, I'm not saying that they're not having a good time. But the bottom line is, you know, you look at professional sports, you look at the NBA, you look at MLB, you look at the Super Bowl, and you see them parading around championship belts. All right, where's the AEW spot? And please don't give me, well, AEW's only been around for 3 years. Yeah, I get it. But this is why Cody and Brandi want a brand. They want to have their brand established. They want to build on that brand. They want to be worldwide. They want to be the next John Cena and whatever. So that's what it is. So these two are out of AEW. And now they're WWE bound. And, you know, for anyone out there that thinks that WWE is going to have Cody and Brandy swallow a bunch of humble pie. Look, I don't think Triple H took it personal when Cody was breaking the throne. That was Cody being a sports entertainer. And everything is all in good in sports entertainment. Now, if they would have mocked Triple H's heart attack, that's different. When they mocked WCW, mocked Jim Ross's Bell's palsy, that's different. That's taking it to a level you don't go. But, you know, for some of us, man, if in a perfect world, I want Reggie pinning Cody Rhodes. You know, as a wrestling fan, look, in my opinion, and I've said this before, and I said it last night too, I have nothing against Brandi Rhodes. I have said on this show countless times, she does so much for that company. She works her ass off. But as far as an on-air character, I don't want to see her wrestle. I don't want to see her cut promos. The stuff that she did with Lambert and somebody else, it was beyond cringe. I mean, do you think that WWE is just going to give her an open mic and show up on NXT or wherever else, and she's just going to let loose? You think WWE wants that fart, that smelly fart of a promo on their TV? But they're obviously going to use them in a lot of different ways. Let me tell you something. Cody Rhodes, we don't sit in the back. We don't watch every little thing that he does. But you only see what is shown to us. Eddie Kingston. When Eddie Kingston talked about how Cody got him in AEW. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of wrestlers in AEW right now that are absolutely beyond thankful for Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes was that forbidden door. Well, I shouldn't even call it forbidden door. It was the opportunity door. Because if it wasn't for Cody, some of these wrestlers that you have seen on AEW over the last 2 years would either not have ever been brought in or would not have been given the recommendation that they deserved. Because you look at Kenny Omega, you look at the Young Bucks, all right? Yes, they have power as well. But as far as their inner circle and who they recommend, you see who is recommended from Kenny Omega. It's heavily from the Japanese wrestling side. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but when you really take a step back and realize how much Cody did behind the scenes for AEW, and you take that away, you think of negotiations that go on in the corporate world. You think Tony Khan is the only person and an attorney that sits in on these meetings? Cody, wherever you see him, meeting with TBS, meeting with TNT, meeting with outside companies, why do you think he's always in the picture? You think he's just a potted plant that just happens to be there because wrestling fans know who he is? No, he is the one responsible for a lot of that negotiation. And WWE, I would not be surprised if they use Cody in the offices. Now, will he be executive vice president? Of course not. But at the end of the day, it's about money. It's about money. It's about power. It's about opportunity. And it's about securing your future. And the thing is that Tony Khan did not feel that his executive vice president, the person who is probably the second most responsible for what we have on TV right now, that he could not come to that financial number that would have allowed Cody and Brandy to stay. And if Cody and Brandy could get up and go, anybody could get up and go. But the only circumstances that would happen is if WWE had interest in someone, or if that person felt that they can have greener pastures, whether it's Japan or just on, even on the indie circuit, because the wrestlers that have no shot ever being in WWE, those are the ones that will come off that, nope, I'm with AEW for the rest of my career. Nope, I'm here to stay. As long as Tony wants me here, I'm here. Because they know that if they picked up and left, WWE probably has zero interest in them or nowhere near the interest that they would get on TV. I have nothing against 10. You know, when you look at the Dark Order, you think members of the Dark Order would really make it in WWE, that they're going to leapfrog all the current stars that are being cropped and the big superstars in WWE? Some of those wrestlers have no shot outside of AEW. So the ones that have no shot, they're going to eat a piece of humble pie and they're going to take whatever Tony Khan gives them. But when these bigger contracts start coming up and WWE is interested, WWE could turn around and say, yeah, we overpaid for Cody. Oh, Jericho? Oh, we overpaid for Jericho. Oh, we brought Dean Ambrose back? Oh, yeah, we paid way too much for Dean Ambrose. But when you see these wrestlers now going back again, WWE with the mindset, we'd rather have 10 Anthony Davis cards than to have 50 lower-end talents that are not going to move the needle at all in the pro wrestling world. That's what WWE is doing right now. You have lower-card wrestlers who multitask for WWE that have a lot more worth than just running around for a 24/7 title. You look at R-Truth, just to give an example. That guy, you look at his win-loss record in the last 5 years, and you look at, but everybody freaking loves that guy. So WWE takes care of him, and that guy, you know, ultimately WWE will let him go. They let go of William Regal. They let go of anybody beloved when they feel, okay, you know, we've really reached the conclusion of our, you know, our relationship. Now it's time to build someone who's going to be the next R-Truth for the next 10 years. That one beloved person that, you know, people don't care about titles or anything. Just puts a smile on their face. And you will see wrestlers that have left WWE, they never signed with AEW. Because they look at the contracts. I don't want a game. I don't want to go in Cameo. I don't want to Twitch. I just want to wrestle. I only want to wrestle for one company. I don't want to have to depend on Joe Schmuck's ribs and wrestling in Texas to take on their local champion for $1,000. That's why you see some names not showing up. And they'll tease it. Look, you look at Wyndham. They'll tease it for a year. People will tease it and tease it and tease it. Look at Roppongi Vice. Remember when best friends were extended family of, you know, the faction in New Japan? Where's the forbidden door with all the Japanese? Oh, that wrestler's not coming in yet because they're not working for CZW. They're not working for GCW. They're not working for here. They're not working for here. They're not working for here. Oh, Minoru Suzuki. Oh, my God. We finally got Minoru Suzuki. Yeah, he worked 10 other promotions. And it was fun to see Minoru Suzuki there. But you realize the forbidden door only is the forbidden door as long as somebody else pays for his airfare to the States. Somebody else pays his cab to the hotel. Somebody else pays his hotel to the arena. Somebody else feeds him. Somebody else does this for him. You know, there's no exclusive stuff going on. So what happens with Cody and Brandy in WWE? Well, WrestleMania 38. Is around the corner. And I'm very curious. And here is where my friends live right now. And yes, I will answer our couple of super chats that came in a moment. We'll talk about theirs as well. But I'd love to know what you would do first with Cody and Brandi Rhodes. Write it in the chat room. Write it in the comment section afterwards. I'll give you a crazy idea that I know is going to come off as absolutely stupid, but it was the first thought that came to my mind. You know what I would do with Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes at WrestleMania? I would have them go up against The Miz and Maryse. I know we just saw Miz and Maryse take on Edge and Beth Phoenix, but if you are going to bring in Brandy and Cody. Sorry, you're not going to get them versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. That's not happening. No, I do not believe that Cody What's he doing in NXT? Yeah, I don't think that's happening either. Could Brandi Rhodes present the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic Cup to the winners of the Women's Tag Team Tournament if that happens? I would not be surprised if somebody tries to create a news story that they held off on the Women's Tag Team Classic because with the negotiations with Brandi Rhodes, we thought it would be better if Brandi presented the cup to the winners. I'm just talking outside the box. But I honestly think if you're going to bring Brandi and Cody Rhodes on TV at WrestleMania, I would do Miz TV if you don't want to do a match. But I would do something with Miz and Maryse, to be honest with you. I don't want to see him go up against a heavyweight champion. Brandi Rhodes, as much as she works hard behind the scenes, I mean, let's be honest, she's not going to suddenly show up in WWE and cut a promo like the female CM Punk. You know what I mean? So you got to keep her microphone to a minimum. And obviously she's been wrestling her ass off on Dark, but you know, in all actuality, it's not very good. Look, you remember when AEW first started and we had those, remember I said she looked like she was trying out for the CW network? Remember those segments where she was in the dressing room with Awesome Kong and they had all these candles and dark lights and all this psychological shit? And it seemed like Brandi Rhodes was trying out for some TV series on the CW network. I don't even know if the CW network still exists. But that's what it felt like. It felt like she was trying out for Hollywood. And obviously, Brandi and Cody want to go to Hollywood. They want to branch out of pro wrestling. And doing it under the WWE machine gives them the biggest opportunity. They're going to make the money. And unfortunately, thank you, Tony Khan. But yeah, as Brandi said in her statement, look at that last line. We must take time to define our own path. Too quickly, we can find the world defining it for us. Very, very powerful. Very powerful. So I'm very curious to see what you think WWE should do. I think Cody works in the offices. I think he's also an on-air character. I think the opportunities to do stuff in Hollywood is obviously going to be there. They're going to be at outside sports events and appearances on behalf of WWE. I mean, they're going to be all over the place. Does he replace Triple H? No, of course not. I'm expecting the radical news media to say, oh, you know, they're forcing Triple H out. They have a healthy, vibrant, you know, 36-year-old Cody Rhodes, however old he is, that he's going to be, you know, be the one to No, it's not. That's not happening. That's not happening. Let me also say one last thing in closing, and then we'll move on to Dynamite. We'll just give a brief recap and NXT Vengeance Day from yesterday. Unfortunately, with everything that transpired with Cody and Brandi leaving AEW, you're going to get the clickbaiters and the bullshit artists that try to stand out. And look, I don't mean this in a horrible way, but let me tell you something. For me, life is so much more fun when Twitter, Brad Shepard, Wade Keller, and Bruce Mitchell are not part of it for me. Because we don't need to talk about Brad Shepard. Twitter obviously has turned into a shithole. Not everybody, but overall, you see it. But Wade Keller had to run on social media and claim, first of all, that he was on the phone with people behind the scenes in AEW yesterday for 6 hours. Then he reports that he says, hold on, I'm trying to find the quote. I have the quote here, that nobody liked Brandi Rhodes. Nobody liked Brandi Rhodes. I mean, you just realize how much of a dick that you have to be to turn around and claim that you're on the phone for 6 hours with people behind the scenes in AEW and nobody like Brandi Rhodes. You know, obviously Nyla Rose and a bunch of others came to the defense of Brandi Rhodes. But just the fact, this is the same asshole that said that, oh, people within WWE are telling Tony Khan, you know, don't even think about Shane McMahon. I mean, you're going to get the bottom of the barrel that are going to claim all this stuff. Look, Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated is claiming that Cody, what broke, the straw that broke the camel's back is that Cody lost a lot of his booking power in AEW. So now he's going to WWE to a company where he's going to have almost no booking power. I mean, people are trying to come up with outside scenarios that are not part of common sense. Cody and Brandi left because of money and opportunity and future. Those are the three reasons why. And again, unless you're the bottom of the barrel in AEW, or you have burned the bridge, or your full-time career is over and you only want to do it part-time. There are some wrestlers in AEW that are 30 years old that only want to work part-time. They're content with it. They don't have to be a millionaire. They don't have to, you know, have every luxury. Just let me pay my bills and let me have a little money left over and I am happy. Not everybody wants to work that crazy schedule. So a lot of those wrestlers there, you know, they have no other opportunity like that. But you best damn believe that could Moxley pick up and go one day? Absolutely. Could Jericho? Freaking absolutely. You go down the list. This is business. And they're going to look out what's best for them, their family, and their future. Same concept with Brandi and Cody. Obviously, there's different priorities in different families, but you best damn believe anybody can go. Anybody can go. So we will see. We will see what happens. So before we move on to tonight's Dynamite, few quick super chats, couple of shout outs. All right, Bob is from yesterday, so we won't talk CM Punk. Mikey Ravello, I know you're going to tell the Cody Brandi story without any bullshit agenda. Many thanks for keeping it 100. Well, thank you, Mikey. I appreciate that. You know, no agenda here. I mean, you know, I don't think Tony Khan screwed up, but again, he's got to realize he's got to treat AEW like a business and being, you know, extra nice and everything. Yeah, you might get some brownie points on social media, but at the end of the day, you know, you're not going to prevent someone from getting up and going if they can find a better opportunity somewhere else. He can't take it personal either. He cannot take it personal. Nothing personal. Muhammad Soria. Muhammad, what's up? Thought the first one to leave AEW for WWE would have been a big man like Brian Cage, since they don't use big men well. Cody surprised. Work to cheer. Look, Brian Cage's contract is not completed yet. Believe me, when his contract is officially completed, he has the opportunity to go elsewhere. The thing with Brian Cage, though, is that, you know, I don't know him personally, so I don't want to criticize Brian Cage, the man. But there's been a lot of reports from people in the wrestling business that Brian Cage is not the easiest person to work with, and he is not one of the more popular people in AEW. I don't know if that's true, but some people in wrestling have made that claim. It's going to be up to WWE if they want to bring him in and if Brian Cage wants to come in. Look, I made a prediction twice. I said it on Saturday or Sunday, and I said it a couple of weeks ago as well. One of my predictions for 2022 is that someone currently in AEW is going to leave, go to WWE, and be a WWE champion before the end of 2022. No, I did not think it would be Cody. I didn't put any individual name behind it. But the point of that prediction is that you are going to see people leave AEW and go to WWE. It's not always going to be one-sided. You know, it's cool that Keith Lee is now in AEW. It's cool to see some names now in AEW. Keep in mind that they're in AEW because WWE did not want them. See what I'm, and it's not a shot on them. But when you look at the Forbidden Door reference last week, what Tony Khan said, that the person that's going to face Isaiah Cassidy and the Forbidden Door are one and the same. That person's going to come in, sign the contract, and slam the Forbidden Door closed. Well, if it wasn't Jay White, that could have only been Keith Lee. Keith Lee was fired. So coming in, slamming the Forbidden Door closed, signing the contract, none of that was true. If I was Tony Khan, forget about the Forbidden Door and worry about your office door. Worry about keeping people in your company instead of worrying about bringing people in your company. Bringing people in your company. Look, everybody likes surprises. When I was a kid, I loved Cracker Jacks. And I honestly could say that I bought extra boxes of Cracker Jacks because I wanted the toy surprise. And usually it was a stupid iron-on patch or something. I bought cereal boxes as a young adult because the prize inside looked pretty damn cool. Wow, cool, CD, wow. Sometimes in my younger days, I bought a Happy Meal from McDonald's because it came with a glass or it came with a Beanie Baby or something like that. Sometimes you buy things because you just like surprises. Why do you think people will, every week, they got to buy a couple of scratch-offs? They buy a couple of scratch-offs because they just like the surprise of winning something. So if I was Tony Khan, stop with the Forbidden Door. Worry about your own door. Worry about people leaving the door when the contract expires. Because you start having these people exit and you think, you know, responded to that is Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. You don't want a revolving door because you're focused on a Forbidden Door. Just keep your fans happy and keep your wrestlers happy and realize what these wrestlers are truly worth. Because I've been saying it for 2 years. The AEW contracts are very, very thin. They are very attractive to a certain group of wrestlers. It's not about skin color, but you see the wrestlers that come in, there is a lot of similarities in what they do outside of wrestling. There's a few exceptions to the rule when they're really at the top of their game. But when their contract is up, you can't turn around and keep saying, but you could cameo. But you could do this, but you could do that. Because if WWE swoops in and say, look, Zelina Vega, how much were you making on Cameo and Twitch? All right, whatever you made, we'll take care of that, and we'll give you this on top of it as well. And bye-bye went to YouTube videos, bye-bye went to the Twitch, bye-bye went everything else. And Zelina Vega seems to be very happy in WWE right now. At the end of the day, Zelina Vega knows that Gabrielle Carteris claimed to knock on her door. But when she thought she was going to have momentum with a union, she turned around and nobody was behind her. Everybody talked a good game on social media, including Andrew Yang. But when push came to shove and when it really needed it the most, nobody was behind her. So all these wrestlers are not going to listen to the noise on social media. They're not going to listen to all the really cool sounding 320 characters in a tweet. Because at the end of the day, nobody on Twitter is going to pay their bills. Nobody on Twitter is going to pay your bills. And nobody on Twitter is going to pay my bills. You got to worry about yourself. These wrestlers are worrying about themselves. Tony Khan needs to change the way he works a little bit. And I think he will. I think he will. He will learn as time goes by. Philip Maffey, what's up, my friend? With the news of Cody leaving AEW and probably going to WWE, it makes him wonder who else like AEW, like Jericho and Ambrose. Yeah. Did you see Jericho today? I have to show you this. I have to show you this. It's not the greatest picture. Has anybody taken notice how much weight Jericho has lost in the last 2 months? Jericho has gotten himself in phenomenal, phenomenal shape. And I want to show you one more. Look at Jake Hager. Jake Hager, if 205 Live was still around, Jake Hager might actually almost be close to that. This guy is trimming down. And look, you know, I know people are probably going to joke and say, well, their contracts must be coming up too, so they're getting themselves in crazy shape. You know, people get themselves in shape to get themselves in shape. You know, so, but I noticed Jericho tonight, and I saw everybody buzzing about it, like, oh my God, look at how much weight he has lost. And that is awesome. That is awesome. You know, some people, you know, they do have, you know, little stages where they gain a few pounds. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. But again, anybody can leave at any time. Benjamin thinks that Hager is getting in better shape for MMA. Whatever the reason is, you know, that is awesome. Props to them. I mean, you look down the line. A lot of wrestlers in AEW have been getting themselves. The Evil Uno, you know, I remember how great a shape he got himself in. There's a lot of wrestlers that have actually really trimmed down, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But, you know, I don't think it's right to start thinking that people are doing it simply because they want to make themselves more attractive for WWE, because I don't think anybody out there that supports AEW wants to start this idea that wrestlers are now starting to put in more effort because their contract is coming to a close, because Tony Khan is more inclined to offer him a new contract than WWE would. So you don't want that. You want the opposite. You want to feel like that a wrestler is trying to remain in AEW, and they're trying to up their value a little bit so Tony Khan feels that they deserve to remain. You don't want someone doing that because, oh, my contract is coming up. WWE could take notice. And what does that mean for me? More money for me. I go back to Tony, and Tony Khan could pay me more money. Abaddon, yes, Sam, Abaddon has lost an insane amount of weight. I mean, there's a lot of wrestlers who have really focused on dropping the weight, and very, very deserving. But, yeah, anybody, read my lips, anybody in AEW could ultimately leave. And remember, no 90-day, no compete clause. No intellectual rights other than the footage and the merchandise and the collectibles that they sell. So almost every single one of these wrestlers could get up, show up in WWE, use their same name, do the same moves, call it the same things, cut the same catchphrases. I brought up yesterday, Scott Hall, WCW 1996. And when he showed up on Nitro, he didn't call himself Razor Ramon. He didn't have any outfit on him that said Razor. He had the denim jacket on, no shirt, toothpick in his mouth, hair curled down, ayo. And WWF threatened to sue WCW because they were perceived as Diesel and Razor Ramon. Now, Mish had asked me yesterday, hey, DT, do you really think that WCW was that scared about the lawsuit? In my opinion, yes, because Eric Bischoff, almost immediately on TV, asked Hall and Nash, are you still employed by WWF? No, we're not. The whole outsiders concept was thrown right out the window. They totally threw the whole concept that they could be infiltrators. There are people now that think that Cody's going to be an infiltrator for AEW. These are people that just want storylines to be, you know, unbelievable, amazing, incredible. No, no. They're gone. And anybody else could go as well. And King of Games, do I think CM Punk would ever go back to WWE? Only if he truly feels that the culture has changed there. Yes, releasing 150, 200 wrestlers in the last couple of years, it does not look good. And when WWE's bottom line is what it is, it may not look good for a lot of people, including pro wrestlers. But at the end of the day, if he thinks that he will be happy in WWE or a better opportunity or the climate has changed and wrestlers seem to be enjoying themselves more, yeah, anything is possible. But remember, CM Punk has a nice nest egg. He's happily married. His bills seem to be paid. He doesn't come off as someone that needs to live in the lavish of luxury that, you know, he might enjoy being a little bit simple. You know, there's a lot of people who love to live this simple life because it's less headaches, it's less stress, it's less worries. So if he thinks that there is an opportunity, sure. Why not? Why not? I know some people would call him a sellout, but, you know, get used to the fact. Get used to the fact that a lot of these wrestlers, even with the number of releases that WWE has had in the last couple of years, that they will continue to show up in WWE. When people are let go, you get thousands of tweets from people out there that'll say, this is terrible, this is awful, wrestlers need to stop signing with WWE. How could you go to that company when you could? The contracts are not worth anything? Tony Khan even said, WWE's contracts are not worth the paper that they're on. Well then, why do wrestlers keep signing it? Why do talent agents that represent the wrestlers, NBA stars, Major League Baseball players, actors, actresses, musicians, why do they keep telling their clients, yeah, sign it? So as much as it may sound good on social media and as much as Tony Khan may make you believe that the contracts are crap, why do people keep signing it? Why is Cody? Why is Roxy? Why is a whole bunch of others? WWE WrestleMania weekend is going to sign more people. Why do people keep signing? Why do people still look to go there? Because they're in the world of pro wrestling. And in the world of pro wrestling, especially if you go to WWE, it is risk. It's just like back in the day when you used to hear stories from the 70s and the 80s and even the 90s, when you would hear hungry actors and actresses that will get up and move from New York, Chicago, Alabama, Ohio, North Carolina. They get up and they travel to California. They go to Hollywood and they live on tuna fish and baked potatoes. They live on almost nothing because they hope that somebody in Hollywood notices them. They might be able to do a little Broadway play. They might be able to do a little off-Broadway. They might be able to get a little spot in the movie. They might notice me. Notice me, notice me, notice me. How many biographies have you watched over your lifetime where somebody just leaves everything behind, goes to Hollywood with the hope of being noticed by someone? It's the same mindset going to WWE. Everybody from Killer Cross to Keith Lee to Roxy to CeCe in the Music Factory, anybody that goes to WWE, they feel they are the exception to the rule. Nero Fay, what's up, my friend? I'll answer your question in a second. But they feel they're the exception to the rule. Oh, yeah, I know WWE lets go a lot of people, but me, I'm different. I can offer something different to the table. And again, you know, welcome to the world of sports entertainment. And there are a lot of wrestlers in AEW who have changed the way that they perform. It's more sports entertainment. Without naming names, you look at AEW's roster in the last 2 years, and you could come up with 15, at least 15 wrestlers, some of the most elite of the elite, that are sports entertainers, or they have become sports entertainers. They still wrestle incredibly, but they realize, I don't need to fucking kill my body, but I can have a more ground game and a little bit of psychology and a little bit of entertaining involved, a little bit of run-ins, a little bit of bullshit, a little bit here, a little bit there, and the fans are still happy. And that's how you prolong your career. So there are a lot of wrestlers who want to branch out in the sports entertainment world. You're going to see names in WWE that you never ever envisioned would ever go there. And look, WWE, let's make this clear, could fuck them all up. They could get some big names from AEW and totally fuck them up and not know how to use them. It's very possible. But when you're a $1 billion company, you can afford to do that. You know, hey, I like building things. All right, I went on eBay and I bought something for $10,000. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but I think I could put it together nice. If I don't put it together nice, okay, I'll just throw it away and I'll buy something else. You know, of course, we don't want to see that happen to our favorites, but that's how it works. That's why they keep going back. And that's why very few people that leave WWE does not belittle WWE and go rogue and go really unprofessional. Look at Mustafa Ali. I've always said he knows his family. He knows his financial situation. He knows what he needs to do. The guy, unfortunately, creatively, WWE has done shit with him. And he burned a bridge by going on social media. So now he's got the support of social media. But now WWE's like, yeah, we can afford you. You signed the contract. Good. Sit home. Sit home. Lose 2.5 years of in-ring. Keep showing yourself working out in your house, because that's the most you're going to get in a wrestling ring while you're under contract with us. You don't think WWE could be nasty like that? Unfortunately, when you work for an asshole boss, if you agree to work for that asshole boss and that boss, you know, doesn't really use you to the way you want to be used, you get that paycheck. You know, unfortunately, you're stuck. If Mustafa Ali really felt that the contracts were garbage and that he is being, you know, singled out and misused, leave. Just get up and go. Go show up at an indie event. Go show up somewhere else and see if WWE sues you. I guarantee you WWE would sue the shit out of him. Mustafa Ali is not a stupid man. He knows WWE would sue the shit out of him. Even if they didn't want to sue him, they would sue the crap out of him, because if they don't, and Mustafa Ali, the hashtag Free Ali, if that happens, that sends such a disruptive message to WWE that if you just go on social media and cry foul and get the people behind you, that ultimately WWE will let you out of your contract early, and then you could go on to bigger and better things elsewhere, even if WWE is not even using you. So WWE is not going to just let it go. And that's the way the business operates. I know a lot of people just want to be entertained on TV, but if you don't understand how business works, then you'll always be baffled beyond belief when somebody like Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes just picks up and leaves elsewhere. You have to understand that aspect of it. Who in their right mind would do that? Well, people in pro wrestling keep doing it. It'll never stop. You know, the people on social media that write that stuff, and a lot of it is great, but they're not the wrestlers. They're not working for the companies. Some of them don't even have their own job. So it may sound good, and it might be the right thing to do or not do, but that doesn't mean that that's the way you do business. Nero Faye, is it fair to compare Cody to Jeff Jarrett the way he left? No. No. Jeff Jarrett, I don't like disrespecting to Jeff Jarrett now, because he's had a lot of battles. He's overcome them. And I actually like Jeff Jarrett now. Jeff Jarrett tried to create his own brand and thought that his brand was bigger than TNA and pro wrestling. And it really wasn't. He tried to sell gold. He tried to create Global Force, which turned into Global Farce. Cody Rhodes has worked his freaking ass off to be the next Hollywood couple, or the pro wrestling couple to branch out into Hollywood. Totally different from Jeff Jarrett. And by the way, congrats to you, my friend. I did see your email earlier. Kicking cancer's ass. We'll talk about it tomorrow a little bit further. But everyone in the chat room, Nero Faye, looks like his cancer is free. Much love. John Falsetta, can Brian Cage go to WWE with the wellness policy? I don't know. I don't know what Brian Cage does and doesn't do. Of course, he will be tested. I'll be honest with you. I have not heard much about Brian Cage and, you know, taking any illegal supplements. So I don't want to make an accusation when it's not there. I think Brian Cage knows that, you know, he will be tested, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Look, I don't know if WWE is even interested in Brian Cage. They could very well. But, you know, look, I don't want to compare Brian Cage to Lex Luger. But a lot of people felt that, you know, back in the day, and I think they were wrong, a lot of people felt back in the day that Lex Luger was not a real easy person to deal with. Or Ultimate Warrior. You know, maybe, but Ultimate Warrior obviously was a larger than life superhero. Brian Cage is a phenom, but I don't know if he has that superhero connection with fans yet. So, but not a bad question. Not a bad question. So, Crazy Shem is asking about NXT. Let's run down AEW first. Now, give you some thoughts on NXT. I thought NXT was decent yesterday. Vengeance Day was fun. It definitely delivered. And, you know, you see some of the matches that are going to be coming up. And I don't know how you could ask for anything more about NXT. We will get into that in a few moments. And, yes, without a doubt, we will talk about NXT Level Up. 205 Live is history. And this may get a little people upset, but it's about time. It's about time. 205 Live was dead in the water for a very long time. And I know some wrestlers really were very passionate about 205 Live, but 205 Live, the idea behind it got outdated. It's not about killing a Triple H idea. It's just, and I guess we could just say it right now briefly, 205 Live. You had Odyssey Jones on 205 Live. In my opinion, ever since Enzo Amore left 205 Live, to me, 205 Live was never the same. It just, the early concept was smaller guys that were not getting opportunity on WWE or NXT TV that were getting an opportunity to put out great matches. The problem is most wrestling fans, even though they would hear on social media, oh my God, you got to see 205 Live this week. Oh my God, you got to see the match between blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. And most people still didn't watch it. Most people still didn't watch it. 205 Live is dead in the water. The concept of having wrestlers 205 pounds and less limits everything. It's almost like the X Division. When the X Division, does anybody remember the one person that showed up in the X Division? And if you look at social media at that time and the net, they were in an uproar. How the fuck could Samoa Joe be fighting for an X Division championship? I thought the X Division was just the small guys. And that ended up being a defining moment with the X Division because now anybody at any size could compete in the X Division. And guess what? It allowed some awesome matches to take place that would not have taken place. Abyss, you know, others. So 205 Live, it was a great idea years ago. But remember what I've been saying about NXT for the last 2 years. They have not been doing house shows. A lot of people to this day think that Omos just like they threw some seeds in the ground and just pulled them out of the ground with the carrots. Like, oh, we got Omos and we'll put them on TV. Omos worked a lot of NXT house shows, was not on NXT television as much. He was more on house shows. A lot of people to this day still don't even know that WWE was doing house shows in Florida for NXT. NXT needed, I said this 2 years ago repeatedly, nobody listened. NXT needed to be what Heartland and OVW and what Florida Championship Wrestling used to be. They have to be the breeding ground of tomorrow. You cannot keep the inflated Adam Cole salaries on that roster unless you have a couple that'll help groom the stars of tomorrow. They can't be the focal point. That cannot be the place. You don't pay millions and millions to a Major League Baseball star and keep them in AAA. And the idea is, oh, I'm happy in AAA. I'll stay in AAA. No, we didn't fucking pay you this just to always stay in AAA. So you have some exceptions to the rule from Tommaso Ciampa and others. But now you have the Last Legends. You have this other girl. I can't remember her name right now. I have it written down. In fact, I'll pull up her name right now. You have the, hold on. Okay, you have, where is it? I'm trying to find the, well, maybe I didn't write it down. This is the Level Up, trying to find a Level Up. I guess I didn't put the matches down. But you have someone debuting with Ivy Nile. Does anybody remember who Ivy Nile debuted with on level one, level up? She's new. they put her on Level Up with the idea that these are the wrestlers. This is almost like an AEW dark. And this is what's needed. You have to have a second place for the NXT stars that are just getting off the ground now that really don't have much of a history. So to turn around and to take 205 Live and to turn it into NXT Level Up was the right way to go. And someone could get me that woman's name. I have a picture of her right here. I just can't remember her name right now. Yeah, she's a fitness model. She doesn't have much of a wrestling background as far as I understand. Thank you, everybody that's just guessing, but, you know, I'll just look it up later. You could all Google it, you know, because people obviously, you know, are not checking the names. So, but anyway, so I love the idea of NXT Level Up. So, too late, everybody, too late. So, let's run down, and by the way, this is what the ring looks like. Yes, it looks like a video game. It does look like a video game. But the whole idea is like with a video game, you level up. You know, you go to the next level. That's what this is. So, yeah, go check it out. It airs Friday. And you will see, you know, some familiar NXT stars on there. But also we have former Ring of Honor announcer on there as well. I know there was a lot of people that were kind of mad that they changed what Kelly Kincaid's name. They have her name is Kelly Kincaid. Now it's Quinn or something like that. But, hey, it's nice. It's the right way to go. And I know some people really took it personal, some of the 205 Live wrestlers. But, again, this is not to bury Triple H. This is just to have another place. Thank you, Tatum Paxley. Thank you, Arion. Tatum Paxley, that is her name. She competed teaming up with Ivy Nile. Very nice team, I might add. And they take on Fallon Henley and Kayla Inlay. And then you have Kushida, I think, against Idris Inofi. Holland also is in action. I can't remember who he just demolished. So, but we're not going to get into spoilers. But pretty good, pretty good. Before we get to AEW, let me just give you the results from NXT Vengeance Day yesterday. Something that I thought was really freaking cool. I didn't pick up on it the first time around today, but I knew it looked familiar. And then I looked online, and sure enough, then I was shown why it looked familiar. Very, very cool yesterday to see Santos Escobar paying tribute to Eddie Guerrero. The tights looked familiar. I honestly couldn't remember, you know, but, you know, there's not too many Latino wrestlers that we would have narrowed it down to, but that is pretty freaking cool. That is pretty freaking cool. Santos Escobar paying tribute to Eddie Guerrero yesterday. By the way, for anybody that's going to ask, that is a Cadillac. I don't think it's a Cimarron. I think that might be a newer Eldorado. That's probably from like the early 90s. Because I had an 88 Eldorado and an 84 and an 88 Coupe de Ville. That looks like the older, the newer, cheaper model from the 90s. So very, very cool to see that. Pete Dunne beating Tony D'Angelo in a weaponized steel cage match. A lot of people think that Pete Dunne might be headed to the main roster. Some others think that he might be in line for a title shot in the very near future. I don't think he's in line for a title shot. I would not be surprised if Pete Dunne shows up on Raw or SmackDown. Cage match did what it needed to do yesterday. Tony D'Angelo is coming along really, really good. People, I think, forget. I don't even think he has 20 matches under his belt in his career. Toxic Attraction retain the tag team championships, beating Indy Hartwell and Persia Peralta. I always say Peralta because I have a customer with the same last name. We call it Peralta. Almost like pierogies. Carmelo Hayes retains the NXT North American Championship over Cameron Grimes. The Creed Brothers beat MSK to win the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. I know my original predictions did not pan out. I am concerned about the future of the grizzled young veterans with the grizzled old teeth, but congrats to the Creed Brothers. I mean, my God, to me, they came out of nowhere the last couple of weeks. The crowd is behind them. I think they're going to break away from the Diamond Mine group. They just, man, they caught on so quickly. And Imperium is going to make them look like $1 million. It's going to be pretty wild to see them go up against Imperium. I'm telling you, look at that roster. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. I read 40 names, and I don't even think the Creed brothers were on that 4 or 5 weeks ago. I read 40 names in NXT whose value has gone up from October. And those reports that WWE is disappointed with how NXT 2.0 has come along, it is so far from the truth. It's ridiculous how wrong that is. You had Bron Breakker retaining the NXT Heavyweight Championship, beating Santos Escobar. Dolph Ziggler made an appearance once again, ends up brawling with Tommaso Ciampa. We are going to see Tommaso Ciampa versus Dolph Ziggler as early as next week. Dolph Ziggler is going to ultimately take on Bron Breakker. I loved that Dolph Ziggler was wearing the Toxic Attraction shirt. That he remembers the storyline with Mandy and Otis. Remember? That was cool to see. And I'm loving NXT right now. It's not perfect. It's developmental. But if you understand what NXT 2.0 is, you appreciate it that much better. It's doing a great job. There's very little that I would change. And I'm enjoying it right now. Now, Gunther, you know, was teasing, taking on Bron Breakker for the NXT Heavyweight Championship, but Gunther was interrupted by Solo Sikoa. So we are probably going to see Gunther and Solo Sikoa go at it. That is going to be freaking awesome. I mean, we just talked about 3 or 4 matches that you really look at it, how could you complain? This is developmental on top of it. They are creating some pretty nice stars. It's going to take a couple of years for some others to develop. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of them get cut loose within 6 months. But, man, they're doing something great right now. And this is what was needed. So, and it sucks to see people out there that are still on a mission to convince you that NXT 2.0 is a disaster simply because they will not let go of the fact that it needed to be a developmental and not the black and gold brand, you know? So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Cody has any interaction as well. Should be very interesting. So let me close out all these NXT photos and we can focus a little bit about AEW. We're at 90 minutes. So I think we should be out of here in about 15 minutes. Don't forget, if you're a channel member here tomorrow night, Q&A will be live. And whatever you want to talk about, the questions will be open for the entire show. So if you want to vent about, you know, Cody, if you have any opinions, what my idea about Brandy and Cody versus Miz and Maryse, I'm telling you, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I wouldn't pass up the idea that WWE wouldn't consider that, because you know Miz would be awesome on the mic. You know Cody is spectacular on the mic. I don't know if Cody is going to cure cancer or racism, you know, like he cut in the promos in AEW, but he obviously can go. And to see them two kicking Miz and Maryse's asses, I think that's something that WWE may think about. I'm telling you, may think about it. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about AEW tonight. Fun show. It obviously advanced some storylines leading into AEW Revolution, which, remember, is only 3 weeks away. AEW Revolution is only 3 weeks away. I will give you the updated card after we get through Dynamite tonight. We open up the show with CM Punk in the ring, and he's talking about Shitty Little Max from Shitty Little Long Island. Hey, CM Punk, you know, there's a lot of people here in New York that, you know, no wonder why he gets, well, he obviously knows he comes to New York, he's going to get booed if he's still in the storyline with MJF by that time. But CM Punk gets to choose where the match is going to take place and what the match will be. And he has chosen it will be at AEW Revolution on March 6th, I believe. And it will be a dog collar match. The commentators acknowledging that the first dog collar match was Cody versus Brody Lee. God rest his soul. And bringing up memories of other matches like Greg Valentine and Roddy Piper. MJF comes out on the stage and CM Punk shows a vintage photo of them from yesteryear. Oh, no, not that photo. I know, because a lot of people think that. That was just stupid me, because a lot of people think that that MJF is just a wannabe Miz. No, he was talking about this photo. And he said that the price you paid to see me on this day is nothing compared to the price you're going to pay at AEW Revolution. MJF on the rampway doesn't say anything, walks off. So that match is set for AEW Revolution. And now with the commercial, we are almost 20 minutes into Dynamite. No matches yet. Pretty cool. Yes, that is actually, for someone asking, that is actually a photo. That looks better. That's actually a photo of MJF and CM Punk from back in the day. Pretty cool. So, we find out that we're going to have a three-way dance at Revolution for the tag team championships. How they're going to determine the two tag teams that are going to take on Jurassic Express. And by the way, Jungle Boy likes three ways. They played off on that a little bit. How they're going to determine Jurassic Express's opponents is that next week we're going to have a tag team battle royal. The winner of that tag team battle royal will get one of the slots at Revolution. The following week, they're going to have a tag team casino battle royal. And whoever wins that match will also be in the match at Revolution. So that is how they are setting up the match at Revolution. Bryan Danielson over Lee Moriarty. You know, decent match. You know, Lee got a little bit of offense in, but in the end, Lee Moriarty, you know, succumbed. Bryan Danielson had him submit. The story today, I'm being honest with you, I honestly don't know if it's going to grow on me, but sometimes you don't try to fix something that is not broken. This is not a fucking Nakamura situation. I don't know who in their right mind thought that it was smart to have some female voice on auto-tune singing Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson's theme song. I keep saying Daniel Bryan because that's almost like something, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of WWF, the music volume, whatever, and then they came out with like rap versions. I mean, The Rock's version was actually pretty cool, but they added lyrics to a lot of songs that nobody asked for. And honestly, I don't give a shit if whoever sung that won an auction, was a make-a-wish. I'm not trying to be cold. I don't care if it's a relative of Bryan Danielson. I don't care if it's something that whoever thought it that it was good to have a female singer, I don't care if it's male or female, but to have a female singer singing in auto-tune Bryan Danielson's song, it was awful. And of course you're going to have that radical left that would never have the balls to say it. I don't care if it's his friend, his lover, his neighbor, his brother, his sister and his brother. I don't care if it's somebody on the deathbed. That was fucking awful. That song sucked with that lyrics. I hope to God AEW that was just a one night only thing, because that was just awful. This was not a Nakamura situation where the fans were singing along and then they got to put, you know, the lyrics on there to get the fans to stop. WWF aggression, that kind of sounds right. Crazy Shem says she was in the original song. I don't give a shit. It was not needed. The instrumental was perfect. Don't fucking add lyrics to it. I don't care if the lyrics were there before, now after. There was no reason to change his song. That was awful. That was awful. Anyway, Bryan Danielson gets the win. He then gets on the mic, reminds everyone his offer to John Moxley. John Moxley comes out and, you know, I'm going to put up a poll on the community section tonight before I go to bed. So vote on it. It'll be on the community section. You know, do you like Bryan Danielson's revised theme with the lyrics? Yes or no? So you could write yes or no right now, just for those watching the show on the replay, you know, to get an overall idea of how everybody feels. And look, speak how you feel. Do not say something that you think will make me feel good or agree with me. Just how you feel. Yes or no? Do you like the song with the lyrics? Yes or no? So John Moxley gets on the mic and he cuts a pretty cool story. He talks about back on the indie circuit, long time ago, that he had the opportunity to take on, you know, they weren't going to use Best in the World, you know, but obviously one of the brighter stars of tomorrow in the world of pro wrestling. And he talks about Ohio and Bryan Danielson's flight was late. And they brought Tracy Smothers out there, which got a nice little pop because Tracy is from Nashville and he passed away recently. You know my love for Tracy Smothers. I will always cherish my financial talks with him. Loved it. Oh, my God. I mean, there are hotline reports still on tape from me going back 20 years talking about hanging out with Tracy Smothers, talking business, finance, and insurance. That man was so intelligent, man. Then he says he took on Bryan Danielson, came up a little bit short, and it made him want even more. Now, a bunch of you emailed and DM'd me to say, DT, could you look this up for us? And I did. John Moxley made a claim tonight that he has never beaten Bryan Danielson. Is that true? Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, however you want to call him. I did the research. I will tell you that in tag team matches, Dean Ambrose, mostly as part of the Shield, did beat Daniel Bryan. As far as a one-on-one match, and I know a lot of you will probably Google this, and you won't get the actual answer right away if you look it up. The only time that I guess you would think Dean Ambrose was not on the losing side to Daniel Bryan was WWE July 26, 2013. Now, if you go into record books, you will see that Dean Ambrose fought in a Melbourne, Australia street fight, and it went to a draw. Daniel Bryan and Dean Ambrose went to a draw in a Melbourne street fight. Now, when I read that, I said, wait a minute. A draw in a street fight? That doesn't sound like it makes sense. So I dug deeper and I looked and I looked and I looked and I finally freaking found somebody's actual news report from July 27th, 2013, who was live at that show. And the truth is that in that match, Bryan Danielson actually defeated Dean Ambrose by disqualification in the street fight because Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns interfered. Yes, they had a DQ victory in a street fight. But what they also don't tell you is that Kane and John Cena ended up coming out, having a brawl with them as well, and it led to an impromptu six-man tag match, and John Cena and Team Hell No, they defeated the Shield. So if you see any sites that say that the only time that they didn't beat each other was that date, no, actually, Dean Ambrose lost that match. It's just that they won't bother to research to get it. So for everyone out there that wanted to know if John Moxley was telling the truth, yeah, he actually was. He actually was. So it makes you almost think that John Moxley is going to beat Bryan Danielson at Revolution. So Brian Danielson wants an answer from John Moxley, and John Moxley simply says, I don't stand side by side with anyone unless I bleed with them first. Pretty cool line. So they are going to face each other at Revolution. Keith Lee cutting a promo about the Face of the Revolution match. Stage one was complete. That was him qualifying for the match. Stage two will be him winning the ladder match. Stage three will be him winning the TNT championship. If anybody missed Dynamite, if you get to ask me, did he cut a promo like greetings and salutations? A little bit. I mean, it was more old school Keith Lee prior to WWE, but he's got that cadence that he is comfortable with. That is a little bit. So yeah, if you never heard a Keith Lee promo prior to WWE, you know, you might feel like, oh, he's still talking the same way. It's not as extreme. So Wardlow beats Max Caster pretty much in a squash match. We have Anthony Bowens try to interfere afterwards. They're playing off that Sean Spears didn't want to help Wardlow. I mean, this split is obviously coming very, very soon. Next, we have a backstage segment with Britt Baker, Rebel, Jamie Hayter, Mercedes Martinez. And as I showed you earlier, the sensei, Cobra Kai, is there also. Oh, big fucking deal. I mean, it was cool seeing him, but, you know, basically Mercedes Martinez says, you know, it's time to murder a bitch. And Mercedes walks off, and Britt Baker asks, the sensei, what happens if she loses? And the sensei says, finish her. No mercy. Okay. Whatever. Whatever. Whenever. Hangman Page hits the ring. Adam Cole comes out shortly afterwards, throws Shivani out of the ring. They have a little face-to-face. And, you know, they trading some jabs at each other. And Hangman Page, how does it feel watching all your friends build a company? Ouch. How does it feel knowing that your Ring of Honor and Bullet Club buddy is holding a title you'll never get? Hangman Page is interrupted by Adam Cole, brings up friendships and how Hangman Page has not been the greatest friend lately, haven't been seen with the Dark Order in quite some time. Then Hangman Page, I'm not perfect, and you're not the best friend either. I mean, obviously I'm exaggerating, but, you know, Hangman Page, you know, not so spectacular tonight on the mic. Adam Cole says, you'll always be the other Adam. Page gets a little bit pissed off. Adam Cole tries to appease him, saying that he's got nothing but admiration and respect for Hangman Page. If they ever face each other, it will be man to man for the title. It'll be filled with respect. May the best man win. Adam Cole extends his hand. Hangman Page shakes it. Cole leaves the ring. His music is playing. He's got a smirk on his face. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish come out from behind, attack Hangman Page. Adam Cole hits the ring again. You know, joins in on the beatdown. Then we had something stupid. Absolutely stupid. Security comes out. And they're all obviously local indie wrestlers and maybe people from, you know, who dat school. And they're trying to break up the fight. The Dark Order come out, so it chases, you know, O'Reilly, Fish, and Adam Cole out of the ring. And then it looked ridiculous. Did you ever see, and if you've never seen it, you will thank me for bringing this up. And if you have seen it, you will thank me, or you will curse me out for reminding you of it. Did you ever see that karate tournament where Steven Seagal was sitting in the crowd and they brought Steven Seagal onto the floor and he's walking very, very slowly with these goofy shoes and one by one, every participant is trying to charge Steven Seagal. And it almost reminds me of Iron Sheik from the Celebrity Battle Royal or the, you know, old, outdated Battle Royal from WrestleMania. He's just sticking his arm out and they're selling clotheslines that they're flipping like, you know, AEW superstars. It is one of the, I mean, people were laughing in the crowd. It looked awful. That's what this looked like tonight. You literally had all the security guards line up in the ring and one by one ran in the middle of the ring so 10 could take them down. Go back and you watch it. Just focus on the security guys. One guy actually was laughing. I honestly thought that he came in his pants. He's like, oh, goody, I'm going to get clotheslined on Dynamite. Every security guard member lined up, and one would run towards 10. He would clothesline him. The next person would come up. He would punch him. It looked like some weird like game that you would like pay at an amusement park to get clotheslined by a pro wrestler. Oh, goody, I'm waiting in line. So choreographed, fucking awful. I don't know what the purpose of that was, but that was just garbage. The segment with Paige and Cole was good, and it sets up their match, obviously. But why did 10 take all the shots on the guys tonight? Well, when we get to the Rampage preview, can you spell, wait, Rampage. R-A-M, there is no D. I was going to say, you can't spell Rampage without Adam because it's Cole, but you actually can't spell Rampage without Paige. But anyway, Santana and Ortiz over Chris Jericho and Jake Hager. Eddie Kingston comes out before the match starts, and as I showed you earlier, Jericho and Hager, I mean, just Hager's in phenomenal shape. He's just getting better and better, but Jericho, freaking awesome to see Jericho getting in that kind of shape. Awesome. And look, some of that weight loss could possibly be related to him being hospitalized recently. Maybe the doctors, you know, said, look, you know, you really should drop a few pounds. Not because aesthetically it looks better on TV, but there might be some health issues related to that. And there could be a little added weight, you know. So basically what happens in this match is Chris Jericho, towards the end of the match, had Santana in a lion tamer. Eddie Kingston gets Santana to move towards the ropes. Jericho takes out Eddie Kingston with a springboard dropkick, but Santana avoided the Judas effect. Hits a discus lariat onto Chris Jericho, gets the win. After the match, Jericho goes right for Kingston and is stopped by the referee. So, looks like Jericho and Kingston will have a match at Revolution. It's not official yet, but it is expected. Backstage segment, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, the Young Bucks, first teasing where were the Young Bucks when everything was going down in the ring. And they then, we realized that Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and the Young Bucks will be part of next week's Battle Royal. And they wish each other good luck, a little sarcastically. The Young Bucks walk to the left. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish walk to the right. And Adam Cole was like, and you get moronic Cutler. Oh, which way are you going to walk, Adam? I'd shove that can of spray up his ass. Seriously. And then you squeeze Cutler and then open his mouth and a spray comes out. Brandon Cutler, man. I got to see what Tony Khan does with Brandon Cutler's contract. He's one of those. Like I said, there are some people that you know WWE wouldn't even think about bringing in. He isn't even worthy to be the butler in the restaurant segment from the 24/7 title from Monday. That's a guy that'll go on social media. As long as Tony Khan wants me here, I will never leave for anywhere else. You got no fucking choice. Who else is going to hire you? Seriously, you can't even get a pain spray company to have you sponsor them. Nothing personal against the guy. So, Thunder Rosa over Mercedes Martinez. We had chairs. We had kendo sticks, garbage cans, tables. We go to a commercial break. When we come back, there is a table outside the ring. Doesn't break perfectly in the middle. Thunder Rosa goes through the corner of it. Mercedes Martinez absorbs the table spot itself. If you think I am the table, that gives you an idea. Thunder Rosa puts a can over Mercedes Martinez's head. Does a running drop kick, only for a two count. We then get an awesome-looking spider German suplex by Mercedes Martinez off the middle rope. Kind of looked scary for a second. that Mercedes might have accidentally dropped Thunder Rosa on the head, but she was okay. Then Mercedes Martinez goes for an elbow drop off the middle rope. She slipped a little bit, so it looked like she came within an inch or two of elbowing Mercedes Thunder Rosa's mouth. That looked a little scary. But then towards the end of the match, Thunder Rosa gets the upper hand, and she hits the crucifix bomb on Mercedes Martinez, then a thunder driver over a bed of chairs for the win. And you could see this a mile away. For some reason, after Mercedes Martinez beating the crap out of Thunder Rosa last week, and Mercedes Martinez saying on televised national TV tonight, it's time to murder a bitch. I'm sorry, storyline or no storyline, if I am seen saying it's time to murder a bitch, even if I'm on the recipient and I'm like, oh yeah, motherfucker, we'll see about that, and I end up beating the shit out of you, in the back of my mind, oh, you told me earlier you're going to murder me? So I'm going to decide to show a sign of respect. Thunder Rosa extends her hand, puts her hand in the air. Yeah, everybody, this makes sense. She wanted to murder me. I'm a bitch. She wanted to murder me. Why are we doing this? Because Jamie Hayter is going to turn on Mercedes Martinez. You have Britt Baker going to the sensei at ringside. Sensei, what should we do about her losing?
You heard me before.
Finish her. No mercy. So that's what they do. They beat the crap out of Thunder Rosa. They beat the crap out of Mercedes Martinez. Oh, look at that. Mercedes Martinez and Thunder Rosa. The murdered bitch and the murderer are going to team up. And they're going to take on who? Jamie Hayter and Rebel? Or maybe Britt Baker? But meanwhile, the title just keeps going and going and going. And nobody really is like vying for it. So, I don't know. I like the pairing of Mercedes Martinez and Thunder Rosa. I am a huge Mercedes Martinez fan. I've said that for 20 years. But the storyline where Mercedes is trying to murder this woman, and then she's like, respect everybody. Look, give her respect. I'm a bitch. She tried to murder me, but I beat her, so it's all good. That's not how you act or talk on the street. House of Black teasing a third member to answer Penta's message. And a lot of people think it's going to be Buddy Murphy. I wonder if Penta may have someone turn on him. I'm not saying that Pac will join the House of Black, but I get a strange feeling, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. Because they announced a tag match next week. Sure, Tony Khan loves surprises. So we'll probably see the Cracker Jack surprise instead of a turn. So we will see. But a lot of people are thinking that Buddy Matthews, Buddy Murphy, will make his AEW debut next week. Sammy Guevara retains the TNT Championship over Darby Allin. We had a fun, competitive match. Commercial break, which kind of like slopped it up a little bit. Right before the commercial break, Sammy hits a senton with Darby hanging over the ropes. During the commercial break, Sammy Guevara goes for a moonsault, lands on his feet, acting like he tweaked his left knee. So Darby methodically, yeah, we're going to wrap this up in a couple of moments, Ledoux. We had a lot to talk about with Cody and Brandy, and I wanted to make sure I covered everything, especially the business side of it. So Darby Allin methodically working on Sammy's leg, telling a nice story, watching the time to see, you know, because the time obviously plays a factor in this. Darby Allin puts the figure four onto Sammy. And then we have Sammy and Darby trading slaps with each other to the face, which causes Darby to relinquish the hold. Darby Allin originally blocks the GTH and gets a two count on a pin attempt. Darby then hits a stunner, but Sammy Guevara rolls outside the ring, and Darby charges in the ring, goes for his tope suicide outside the ring. Sammy turns it into a cutter. Looked really, really good. Sammy then attempts a senton to the outside, of the apron, but Darby moves out of the way. Then we get some clusterfuck. Darby Allin climbs the rope, attempts a coffin drop. Jose tries to interfere, so the referee is distracted. Sting takes out Jose, but in the process, Andrade is on the opposite side of the ring, hits Darby Allin with the tablet, so Darby Allin is knocked out on the middle rope. Sammy Guevara realizes that Andrade got involved with this. We get a little appearance by Matt Hardy. And Sammy, even though he didn't want to win that way, he realizes that Darby Allin is knocked out. So Sammy hits the GTH. So nice of him. He was so upset that his opponent got knocked out. Couldn't just put him on the mat and pin him. He's like, nah, fuck it. Let me just put him out of his misery with the GTH anyway. So anyway, hits the GTH, gets the win. Right after the match, Matt Hardy interferes, is beating down Sammy. Then we have a little bit of a distraction by Sammy Guevara. He is focused on Matt Hardy. So Andrade takes out Sammy with a tablet to the head as well. Andrade then grabs both TNT titles, holds them in the air, and that's how Dynamite finishes. So this is setting up Andrade versus Sammy Guevara, which you know is going to be an excellent match, no question. I don't think anybody really wants to see Darby Allin feuding with Matt Hardy anymore. You realize how far this goes back. Remember the Hardy family office trying to take out Darby Allin, and I don't mean to lunch. So we're hoping this sets up the Hardy boys returning. Personally, after Matt Hardy got so frustrated at Private Party last week, when Matt Hardy symbolically left and went into the crowd, we should not have seen Matt Hardy again until he came out with Jeff. Especially with these tag team matches coming up. Maybe he didn't necessarily have to do it next week, but the following week for the Casino Battle Royale, you could have had Matt Hardy reappear with Jeff Hardy. But tonight, Matt Hardy came out like nothing ever happened. He looked like Big Money Matt. And to me, I thought that was a mistake. I honestly thought that was a mistake. They should not have reintroduced Matt Hardy after walking out symbolically last week. So, fun show. It set up, obviously, some matches. Now, first, your Rampage preview for this Friday. Now, programming note, starts at 7 p.m. Friday, not 10. NBA All-Star Game, the weekend. So Rampage starts at 7 o'clock Friday. Make a note of it. We have Adam Cole versus 10. Jay White versus Trent Beretta. Serena Deeb has another 5-minute challenge. And remember my idea, who should break that 5-minute challenge? Not going to happen Friday, by the way. And the Face of the Revolution qualifier, Powerhouse Hobbs versus Dante Martin. Your early preview for next Wednesday's Dynamite, you have Malakai Black and Brody King versus Penta and Pac. Now, one of two things will happen. We either will get a third member, and it'll be Buddy Murphy or somebody else debuting, or Pac turns on Penta. Or maybe Penta turns on Pac. Oh, has anybody thought about that? With Penta digging out his old mask, maybe Penta is going to join. I don't know. Because we're going to get Reef Phoenix back soon. So I don't know. I mean, maybe. One could think outside the box. Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho will have a face-to-face and a tag team battle royale to determine one of the tag teams that'll be fighting at Revolution for the tag titles. Your Revolution card as of now, Keith Lee versus Wardlow versus the winner of Hobbs versus Martin, and three more participants in the Face of the Revolution ladder match. The winner of that will ultimately receive a TNT title shot. You have CM Punk versus MJF in a dog collar match. Jurassic Express will take on two tag teams to be determined in a three-way to determine the tag team champions. Bryan Danielson versus Jon Moxley is pretty much confirmed. And Hangman Page versus Adam Cole for the AEW world title. We can't say heavyweight. That should be confirmed as well. So lineup is really starting to take shape. We'll probably have Jericho versus Kingston too. And that is your episode for Wednesday Night Dynamite. So I thank you all for joining me tonight. After the show is over, please post your comments. Let me know what you thought about the shows. Let me know how you feel about Brandy and Cody. You're not just telling me. You're telling everybody else that tunes in as well. You know, speak up. Talk away. Tell me where I'm right. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me what you would like to see and what you would not like to see. You know, think outside the box. Show everybody your creative juices. So I will be here tomorrow night at 10:05 p.m. for Q&A. It'll be live for our channel members. It'll be available for everybody else on the audio side after the show is over. And don't forget, next Thursday, Jason Solomonster will be joining me, and we will do a special episode of the Don Tony Show. And we will be having some casual conversation and answering all your live questions. So that is going to be a fun show. I will touch base with Jason this week to see what time he wants to do it. Normally on Thursdays, I start at 10:05, but maybe because Jason works, maybe he would prefer to do it like 8 o'clock Eastern or 9 o'clock Eastern. So I'm going to see what he prefers as far as a time slot. I'll let you all know a week in advance so you could plan accordingly. And I hope you can join us next Thursday. It'll be a special episode. It'll be my first guest in God knows how long. And that'll lead to other people coming on as well. So thank you for spending your Wednesday night with yours truly. Hopefully I, you know, answered everything that you might have been asking about Cody and Brandy. Obviously, unless we are breaking bread with them, we don't know every little detail that is going on inside their head, inside their agenda. But at the end of the day, it's agreed upon across the board. Money, power, future. That is usually the three aspects of anybody that is in the world of pro wrestling. Money, power, future. Without it, you probably don't have much of anything. So, or you're behind the camera spraying pain spray on other people. So, all right, everybody. I am out of breath. I am out of time. You all have a good night. Be well. Stay safe. And I'll see you either tomorrow or Saturday after Elimination Chamber. And we may do a show Saturday night too. We'll see how the news goes during the week, and then we will decide on the fly. So be well, everybody. Good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.